And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light. So that's Jesus' rather dour analysis of the world that we live in, the world that we were born into. The light has come, but people, the mass of a fallen humanity, love darkness rather than light. They stayed in the dark, in the shadows, because their deeds, their works were evil. They didn't want anyone to see them. They kept doing them, mind you. They just didn't want to get caught. And here's the real corker. In the Greek, humanity agape the darkness. It wasn't any sort of garden variety familiarity or friendship they had with darkness. Fallen humans, ourselves included, have agape, loved the darkness. They've purposefully stuck with it, even sacrificed things to hang on to it, because they wanted it more than the light. Let me add that the light here is none other than Christ himself, whom John tells us his life is the light of the world. Now, I can tell you, a lot of folks think that's a bit much to call us all lovers of darkness. After all, here it is day, even an hour early, and we are here in church. Certainly, we don't love the darkness more than the light. On the other hand, how much of your life do you want on the front page of the paper right now? And I'm not talking about, you know, your finances or your last job review, medical conditions or things that are no one's business. Now, I'm talking about your thoughts, your words, your deeds. How much of what you said and did and thought yesterday, just yesterday, or maybe even this morning, do you want everyone to know about? If you're like me, you have stuff that you just assume others not know about. So the question to all of us is, then why do we do that stuff? Why don't we just knock it off? And don't tell me I can't help it, right? We all know better. There's plenty of stuff we can help. So we do, we say, we think stuff that we don't want others to see, and don't really try all that hard to stop it. People love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. They did not come to light. They did not want their deeds exposed. So it turns out we're all a pretty sorry lot. It gets worse. In the darkness, there is only death. Living things need light and energy to grow. Dead things dwell in the darkness. Now, if we hang back in the darkness, shying away from the light, we will be lost to death as well. But of course, God does not want us lost or dead. He who is life, he who is light, he's brought light into the cosmos because he wants to gather us to himself. He made us for himself, that we should have fellowship and life with him, and fellowship and life with each other. God loves the world, and note this, as we agape'd the darkness because it hid our deeds, God agapes the world, the whole of creation, us included. He wants it saved, filled with light, with life. God agapes the world, and so gave his only son. Now, we know this verse well, right? It gets quoted and printed out all the time. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and so on. Luther liked to refer to this verse as the gospel in miniature. But by being too familiar with it, we sometimes miss out on the fullness of what Jesus gives us here. So the word forgave, as in gave his only son, actually means to give as a sacrifice. Father didn't send the Son as a messenger. He's not a teacher or a life coach. He's not the great moral example for us to, you know, set our compass by. The Father, in purposed and self-sacrificing love, gave the Son, the only begotten Son, God of God, light of light. Jesus was given as a sacrifice for us. His shed blood covers our sin. His life pays our debt, so that we are won back from all those things that keep us in the darkness. Because of his sacrifice, because of the Father's love, we are called out of the darkness and into the light, to Christ, that we might trust in him and know him and receive his grace. Covered in Christ, we can come into the light without fear of exposure or condemnation. And this is what the whole business with Moses and the serpent comes in. Recall the story from Numbers. The children of Israel are on their way from the death and slavery and darkness of Egypt to the wonder of the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, but they'd blown it. Because of their faithless fear, they refused to enter the land by the way that God first sought to lead them. And so God said, all of you who were adults when we left Egypt are never going to see the promised land. You will wander for 40 years until the last of those of you who were 20 or older when you left have died. And then the new generation will enter the land. As you might guess, it didn't go over very well. And as they wandered under God's judgment, the people began to complain that this had been God's plan all along, just to bring them out into the wilderness and let them all die. They began to talk about how great everything was back in Egypt. They began to wonder whether some other gods or goddesses might not cut them a better deal. They loved the darkness rather than the light, even with God in their midst. Remember, he was constantly with them, a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. And so God said, fine, you want to go on without me? Have it your way. And he took his guarding hand away, and those serpents came, poisonous, and bit the people, and the people were dying. And so they acknowledged their sin, and they prayed that God would have mercy. And that's when God told Moses, make a snake and hoist it up on a pole, and tell the people that whoever would look at it in faith will be healed. Nothing could make less sense. Yet this is the remedy to sin and death, to trust God, to hear his word, to do as he says. Moses lifted up the serpent, and those who believed and looked to it were healed. And what does Jesus say a sin-ruined world needs? The Israelites needed the serpent lifted up on the pole to be healed by God's grace. We lovers of darkness need the Son of Man to be lifted up, crucified, if we are to be healed. Indeed, he must be lifted up if we are to be healed, because finally what we need is the lover of darkness in us to die. And we need new life. We need it completely. So Christ goes to the cross, the Son of Man, and he takes us with him. And oddly, in going with him, we come to his light. We leave the shadows. All of our sins come with us. We are exposed. And in him, on the cross, it all dies. And that's why there's no condemnation for those who believe in Jesus, who look to him for salvation, just as the Israelites look to that bronze serpent. We look to Christ, because that's where the scriptures point us. They say, here is your salvation. Receive what he has come to bring. There is no condemnation in him, because sin ends in him and life begins. God so loved the world, the cosmos, that he gave Jesus up as a sacrifice, his only son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish. With no condemnation, there is no destruction. You see, what awaited us when we were lost in the darkness was final destruction, a death beyond death, if you will, the complete loss of all good, all joy, all love, all grace. Those who perish are destroyed so that there is nothing good left for them. But in Christ, even though we die, we live. We do not perish. We receive eternal life. And you've heard me go on about this before, but it never hurts to remember. Eternal life is not simply a life that goes on forever. In fact, I have had worried folks ask me from time to time, Pastor, if we live forever in heaven, won't I get bored after a while? No, you won't. For eternal life is not about endless duration, although it does go on forever, but rather, eternal life is about sharing life with him who has no beginning or end, who is eternal. To share the life of God in Christ is to have his character given to you by the new life he creates in you through the Holy Spirit. As God is love, you shall love. As God is slow to anger, you shall be patient. As God is generous, you become generous. As he is kind and gracious and forgiving, you share grace and kindness and forgiveness with those around you. Eternal life is living to hand on what you have received from him, who is life and light and eternal. And it begins here and now with faith, hope, and love. So rejoice, my friends. Christ has been lifted up to heal you and give you life. So look to him, believe, and live. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.